Psalm 119, as I've been working down verse by verse through each. This week we're going to be on Psalm 119 and verse 15. We'll start in verse 9. It says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as all in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you tonight. Lord, I just ask you again to just work in our hearts, Lord. Speak through me. And Lord, we just ask that you'll guide and direct in everything that's said and done. And Lord, we're so thankful for your goodness, another opportunity to be in your house. And Lord, we're thankful for the privilege to be here, because it truly is a privilege. And Lord, we'd be able to be thankful for the liberties we still have. And Lord, we just ask you to be with us. And Lord, we'll thank you for all that you do, in Jesus' name. Amen. So Psalm 119, verse 15, it says, "I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways." So in this, in the following verse, see, he declares, the psalmist of David in this one, boldly declares the intention of his heart using, if we go back all the way back to verses 7 and 8, and then also verse 15 and 16. It's kind of unique. It's just the last two verses of both stanzas. There's 8 verses in each. He uses the word "I will" 4 times here. He says, "I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. I will keep." See, "I will praise, I will keep thy statutes, O forsake me not utterly. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word." It kind of reminds us of another passage. We're going to turn to Isaiah chapter 14. This is the contrast of it. This is the opposite. But Isaiah 14, I don't know if you guys are familiar with this passage of scripture, but it's when Lucifer, there's the 5 I wills. And in contrast to what we just read, this is the total opposite. We're reminded of the difference when we read about Lucifer here in verses 13 and 14. It says, "For thou hast said in thine heart, I will exalt, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars. I will sit also upon the mount of congregation in the sides of the north. And I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. And I will be like the Most High." But then he says, God tells him in verse 15, he says, "Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit." See, there's the punishment for his pride and selfishness. He was trying to exalt himself above God. But we see here in Psalm 119, to where it's the opposite. David is declaring his intention of his heart, using and implying the use of the expression "I will." And see, we know David's request was answered from Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 24. And this applies to us as well. But verse 24, chapter 10, it says, "The fear of the wicked, it shall come upon him, but the desire of the righteous shall be granted." The desire of the righteous shall be granted. So we know David's request was answered because of that particular scripture. And that's the same thing. He had a righteous desire. See, it illustrates a great truth that a man's mind will be occupied with thoughts of that which his heart most loves and delights in. There's a few scriptures I want to look at here. And it kind of brings out the point of the fact is what we think about the most, what our desire is, that's going to consume us. It's going to consume us to the point that that's what we will be pursuing. Well, David here says, "I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways." In Matthew chapter six and verse 21, it's a very interesting passage. It says, "For where your treasure is, there where your heart be also." I've used that many times, at different times. What do we treasure most? What's our focus? The things of the Lord or selfish desires? Where is our heart tonight? Proverbs 23 and verse 7. Proverbs 23. Where is our heart? 23 and verse 7, it says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee." It also talks, about in the New Testament about our, they profess with their mouth, but their heart is not, you know, in the same place. There's a lot of that going on. But we see, where is your heart tonight? The one who is born of God loves the Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. It's truly born of God. It talks about in John 1:13. We're not going to turn there. But it talks about being born of God. When we're truly born of God, we're going to love the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to love the fact because of what he's done for us. We only love him. Why? Because he first loved us. He loved us before we ever turned to him. It said, "But God commendeth his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Ephesians 6 and verse 24, it's another passage. 6 and verse 24 says, "Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity." Do we truly, sincerely love the Lord Jesus Christ? See, if we did, Jesus says, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments." We would be living obedient lives. And see, we would never grow weary of contemplating the wonder of God's redeeming grace. We would never grow weary of it. Constantly, there's times that I have to ask the Lord to help me, to give me the desire. Sometimes I allow things to come in on me, but I ask him to give me the desire to read his word, give me the desire to spend time with him, because sometimes we don't feel like it. But when we're truly born of God, we'll never grow weary of the things of God. We'll never, isn't it something when we start singing the hymns, how it brings our hearts closer to God, because we start praising him, and it brings back that song. He gives us a new song in our hearts. And when we sing the praises to him, and we hear good Christian music, it lifts our hearts to focus on God. And that's the blessing of it. In Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23, another familiar verse, it says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." We're to keep our hearts. We're to guard them with our life. We're to guard our hearts and our thought life. We're to protect ourselves from those things that are around us, the influences that can affect us. We need to, again, stay focused. We need to protect ourselves. We need to guard ourselves from things of the world. And so, therefore, we need to pick and choose what we do. And when you want to take a stand for the Lord, you choose not to do some things in life. Some people say, "Well, you miss out as a Christian," but that's not always true. There's a lot of things that you guys haven't done that I have that I wish I'd never had. And that's a blessing to been protected from that. But we see there in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Philippians 4 and verse 8. Let's just go back to verse 5. It says, "Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand." And moderation is just another word for gentleness. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And there's a peace that passeth all understanding God gives us. He helps us get through. I love that I heard a message by J. Vernon McGee one time, and he talked about a bird sitting in a nest on the side of a cliff amidst the storm going on around them. And that's as if we are in that position and the storm going on all around us. And because we're stayed on Him, because our focus is on the Lord, He gives us that peace that passes all understanding. We can go through those kind of things and have that peace. But He says in verse 8, He says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." Those things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, and of good report. "Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you." So we see that we need to think, we need to guard our hearts, we need to guard our thought life, we need to guard our eye gates, we need to be careful what we allow ourselves to see, because it affects our life. But Paul is saying, think on these things. And when that comes to mind, I think about the word think. From a gal one time, she was an officer, and she had I believe she might have been a Christian, but she gave us this card that said, "Think. If it's not true, if it's not honest, if it's not inspiring, if it's not necessary, and if it's not kind, don't say it." And on the verse of that, we need to protect, again, guard our hearts from anything that's being done. We need to guard our thought life. We need to be careful what we read, what we watch, what we listen to. It affects our life. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, it's another it says for the verse 4 and 5, it says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." See, the battle is really not physical, it's spiritual. "Casting down imaginations," when a thought, an evil thought, a wrong thought, or just whatever kind of thought that comes in that's not pleasing to the Lord, we need to cast it out. It says, "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." We need to cast it down. We need to. And how do we do that? Well, first of all, we got to die to self. But we do it through God's word. We do it by staying absorbed in God and allowing us to absorb His word. By keeping it before us. By reading it, studying it, meditate upon it. That's why He says, "I will meditate in thy precepts." There's a purpose behind that. "And have respect unto thy ways." Then we see there in Colossians chapter 3. See, it goes kind of along with this morning. We're not of this world. We need to set our affections, in Colossians 3, 1 and 2, we need to set our affections on things of above. We need to stay focused on the Lord. And sometimes we allow our circumstances to draw us aside from what we know is right. We let our circumstances affect our walk. But we need to stay focused on Him. We are not of this world. We're not to be conformed to this world's mold. We're not to allow the world to conform us. Psalm 119, verse 11, it says, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." Again, it's memorizing God's word, hiding it in our heart. Psalm 119, verse 9, it says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way?" It says, "By taking heed thereto according to thy word." Now, we take God's word, we memorize it, we read it, we study it, but then we have to heed it. We have to do it. We have to put it to work. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." We need to study it. We need to get in there. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. This kind of ties in and goes along with this whole lesson. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Well, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, we're going to start there in verse 4. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house." So we teach them to our children, we talk about them when we sit down in our house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Every point of our time, we need to be soaking ourselves with Scripture. We need to be talking about it. We need to be sharing it. "And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thy eyelids. Thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates." We're to put it before us at all times. We're to talk about it. We're to saturate ourselves with God's word. He says, "I will meditate in thy precepts. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things, which thou fillest not, and wells digged, which thou diggest not, and vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not. When thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him, and shalt swear by his name. Lest thou forget." If we don't follow up and do the things that he wants us to do, we're going to forget. We're going to allow things to come between us and the Lord. So keeping God's word before us at all times is a must, unless we would forget the Lord. It's a must. If we fail to be faithful to God and his word, then we open the door to sin. I've heard the saying, "The Bible will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the Bible. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." See, when we honor the Lord, we have respect unto his ways. We must fight the enemies till the end of his days. Psalm 16 and verse 8, it says, "I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved." I have set the Lord always before me. There's a conscious choice we have to make. Just like Joshua did in Joshua 24 and verse 15. He says, "Me and my house, we shall serve the Lord." That's his choice. That's a choice that we have to make as God's children. See, only those who learn to love God's ways on earth will be fitted to partake of the joys of heaven. He's preparing us. And it was interesting how Valerie shared that illustration this morning about the silver being at the right temperature and the slag being drawn away. And he get the silver to the point to where he can see his reflection. And that's what God's trying to do, is to work all the impurities out of us, cleanse us through his word, to prepare us and get us ready to spend eternity with him. The sanctification process. Because one day we will be glorified. See, faith responds by saying, as Jacob did when he was told his son Joseph was yet alive in Egypt, he sent for him. He went. Genesis 45 and verse 28 says, and this is just a partial part of the verse, he says, "I will go and see him." See, James chapter 2 verses 14 through 20, we're going to turn there, James chapter 2, this is a very good passage. There's a lot of people that talk about things. He talks about it in James chapter 1, I think in verse 17, or verse 22, it says, "But be you doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." But then he goes on in chapter 2, And it's the test of good works. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he have faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto him, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what profit? What doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works. And James says, I will show thee my faith by my works. It's an outworking, as it talks about in Philippians chapter 2. I think that was Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12. I will work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. It's an outworking of what took place on the inside. So faith without works is dead. But James says, I will show you my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. See, when people says, I believe there's a God, well, the devils believe too. That doesn't mean nothing. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? See, our faith will respond. It will produce good works. Verse 15 says, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. See, meditation, we understand what meditating is. We take God's word and just ponder it. Think about it. I was, Pastor Crowder, I was able to counsel with him some, and when I had an opportunity, he shared a way of study where you read a passage, say 10 times, say 5 verses, and you sit there and read it 10 times, and then, well, of course, you pray about it, ask God to help show you what it's talking about, but then you sit there for 30 minutes without writing nothing and just ponder it. And then, after 30 minutes, you write down 60 observations of what you get from that passage. You wouldn't believe. It seems like a lot. And if you write 60 and you still have more, write another 60. You won't believe how God will work through showing you what His word. And it brings up stuff all the way through it. And it's a good example about reading and meditating on a passage. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. Delight in God's statutes must be accompanied by delight in doing God's will. One last passage we're going to look at in Psalm 40 and verse 8. If you truly delight in God's statutes, you will have a great delight in doing His will. You'll want to be obedient. You'll want to live an obedient life. Psalm 40 and verse 8. It says, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. And this brings me back to Psalm 119, verse 11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. He's telling us there in Psalm 119, verse 15. He says, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. We need to guard our hearts. We need to hide God's word in our hearts so that we might live an effective and pleasing life for Him. Let's pray.